Good. Okay, good. I heard an amen even. That's good. Well, it's good to see. It's kind of hard to believe that it's Wednesday. And, you know, that's the way our lives go by. The Bible says, whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For it's, you know, our lives are like a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. It's so good to see you. Well, tonight we're going to start in John's Gospel, chapter 11. There are three wonderful words, dead, defeated, and delivered. Dead, defeated, delivered. Now, it doesn't make any difference your bank account. It doesn't make any difference where you live. We're in one of those categories. Either we're dead, we're defeated, or we're really delivered. John's Gospel, chapter 11. And we'll begin reading at verse 32. Then, when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, Where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, Behold how he loved him. And some of them said, Could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, Take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, Said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. Let's pray again. Father, we really thank you today for the Lord Jesus, who is the living word. And then we thank you for preserving the written word to this our day. Often publicly and privately we find ourselves saying, not because it's a saying, but because it's so. We dread to think of what would be our lot if we did not have the word of God. And now we count upon you. And as we have had the privilege to sing unto you, we count upon you to speak to our hearts and give us not out of fear or guilt or frustration, but give us to simply respond to you because we believe you. Anoint me as only you can do, and because you're so faithful, thank you again in the precious, peerless name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, let me say, it is a delight to see you. You notice I haven't missed a meeting. Now, you laugh at that, but I remember one time I had the flu, and I did miss a meeting. But so far, I'm batting 1,000, and it's good to be here tonight. And it's good to meet with Christians. There's nothing like Christian fellowship, right? And the Bible says, truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And of course, in gatherings like this, that doesn't mean that everybody is a Christian. Lots of Americans have heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of them have heard just as they ought to have heard it. They've heard the gospel, but they're still pressing and pounding a place on the broad road which leads to destruction. And this series of meetings is evangelistic services. And you have noticed that we have specialized, we have emphasized the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and then also to the Greek. It is the one message, and I like the way the man said it years ago, and I never can forget it. He said that it's the sweetest message that ever fell from human lips upon human ears. How that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture. And then this portion, I like this portion. Of course, there's not a portion there that I don't like. There's some portions I don't understand, and I don't mind telling you I don't understand them. I read them, and I find myself praying, Lord, in your time and for your glory, you just break light on it so it'll come clear to me. But in the meantime, I you know what I do? I learn how to eat fish, and you probably have the same experience. When you're eating fish and you come across a bone, what do you throw away? The bone, right? You don't throw away the fish. And so I do the same thing when it comes to the scriptures. See, you don't throw away the scriptures because, you know, you come across a bone or something that you don't get, you know, or that don't make sense, as we might say. And so tonight, it's dead. If you notice the very first verse that we started reading together in verse 32, then when Mary was come where Jesus was, what had happened? Mary and Martha had a brother by the name of Lazarus, and that brother, well, not only was he sick, but then he died. Now relax, I'm not going to talk to you about sickness, not going to talk too much about death. We're all sure of that, and all of us who are adults are so sure that we're going to die that we got life insurance, and the only reason that we're not looking, you know, hilariously toward the undertaker because we're expecting the upper taker. Because we got it straight from the book. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And one of these days, he who is our Lord and our Savior, our life, our joy, our peace, our wisdom, our patience, our power, you name it, he's that, because in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. One of these days, as he so faithfully promised, he's coming back again. And in this pressurized age, when the tendency can be to get discouraged or get down under the circumstance, the Word of God still speaks to us. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, where it says, cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense or reward. For ye have need of patience, that after you have done the will, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. And we remember those wonderful words of the Lord Jesus. He said, I'll go away to prepare a place for you, and if I go away, I'll come again. And friend, I believe Jesus is coming again. Not because of what I read in the papers, not because of what I see happening over in the Middle East or in the Persian Gulf. No, no. I just simply believe that one of these days, it can be well in a meeting like this, that the last stone is going to be added to the body. Some man, some woman, some boy, some girl is going to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's going to complete the body, and he is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. Many times referred to as the rapture, the second coming of the Lord, and I believe it's coming. Now relax, I haven't got to that place where I'm going to set any dates. Because no man knows the day or the hour. But the Bible does say to us who are Christians, and everyone that hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. When you really believe that he's coming, then you'll have Christianity in shoe leather, and you'll find yourself walking in the light of the word in the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, here's Lazarus. He's a dead. He was dead. And when you look at Lazarus dead, you got a wonderful picture of men, women, boys, and girls who are outside of Christ. Now notice I didn't say outside the church. You have probably observed by now that I don't mention names of denominations and all of that stuff. I just go as far as to say this, that if you're going up, the label's going to fall off. If you're going down, it's going to burn off. I was raised on cornflakes. One day Kellogg's and the next day Post Toasties. I never ate the brand, always ate the contents. You understand that? And so don't, you know, people say, but Sam, you never mentioned. No, no, we don't do that. You see, because that's not positive. Our business is simply to consistently present the Christ of the Bible in love, but in a down-to-earth language. And don't worry about, you know, all of that. I have many times people come up to me, and they relax, I'm not going to mention the church. And they say, but would you go to such and such a church? I say, do they breathe? If they breathe, we'll talk to them. If they don't, we just don't bother, see? And that way you don't get all bent out of shape, and it's so easy to offend people. And in this world in which we live, and especially in America, when there is so much unbelief, in spite of the fact that God has made known his salvation, his righteousness has been openly shown in the sight of the heathen. And as you think of Calvin, you think of the Lord Jesus as he hung there, suspended on that rugged tree between heaven and earth, as if he wasn't fit for earth, not good enough for heaven. And the Bible tells us why he died. You see, the Lord made it so very plain as to how we could pass from darkness to light, from the power of Satan under God. And yet man specializes in putting his 2-cent worth to it, and I'm not even going to get off on that. Because, you see, the Lord speaks to me about that. You see, I shared with you how that as a young lad, I got turned off when the guys talked over your head, and I didn't know what they were talking about. They didn't know what they were talking about. They need to talk about it in a down-to-earth language. And I like the way Paul and those men moved and controlled by the Spirit of God, just consistently made over the Lord Jesus Christ. So I have purpose in my heart. I'm going to do that. I said to somebody jokingly tonight, I'm 67 years old, another 33 years, man, I'll be 100. Now, some of you looking at me, but I may. Now, I'm not asking God for the short end. I'm not one of those that say, oh, Lord, if you just let me see my children's children, I'll be ready to go. I got 7 grandchildren. I'd have been gone. I'm asking for the long end. Now, of course, if he comes before then, that, needless to say, I'm going with him. But in the meantime, I purposed in my heart to just tell it like it is. He's the one that gave me the ability to speak. In fact, he's the one that gave me the wit that I have. Somebody says, how do you think like that? The Lord made it possible that I could think like that. And it comes in handy, maybe not so much in churches, but in prison. I was speaking in a prison recently, and I was saying, I know you guys don't believe fat meat is greasy. If they tied a dripping chunk on your forehead, man, you're always trying to figure it out. And sometimes I say that in churches, and it could well be that some of you are here tonight, and you heard a lot, but you believe so little. You probably heard about the lady. She was walking down the street minding her own business. I'm talking about unbelief now. And here's this guy who had a couple dogs. They looked ugly like alligators with their tails cut off. And he said, lady, you want to buy a dog? She says, I don't need a dog. He said, lady, this dog can do karate. Oh, that's different. They got together on a price, and she bought one of the dogs, and on her way home, she had second thoughts. She thought she'd try it out. She saw an old porch with a rocking chair on it. She said to the dog, karate that chair, and he just went over there, and just a matter of seconds, and it's just toothpick and splinters. And then she gets to thinking, any dog can tear up a chair. Find something more substantial. So she saw an old deserted telephone post, and she said to the dog, karate that pole, and he just went over there and just like that. And she gets home, and her husband says, honey, where did you get that ugly dog? She said, he's ugly, but he can do karate. And she said, karate my foot. Yeah, I knew it. That'll get you. But that, we're talking about unbelief. See, he didn't believe nothing. Now, you know what happened. You know the rest of it, right? And karate my foot. Well, you know, that's the way I find people many times when it comes to the gospel. You just simply share with them. You tell them what the Bible says. And when you look at Lazarus, Lazarus is dead. And he's a wonderful picture of men, women, boys, and girls who are outside of Christ. They may be intelligent. They may be rich. They may be popular. They may be powerful. And all of that, but if they're outside of Christ, according to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, they're dead in trespasses and sin. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, the things of God are foolishness unto them. Oh, they want the blessings of God, and they want the benefits of God, but they really don't want God's way, and they certainly don't want God's Son, Jesus Christ, who is the one mediator between God and man, the one who says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Or that one who says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And you see, my friend, that's where the preaching comes in. That's where preaching comes in. Because in Romans chapter 10, it says, how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? And so that's where the preaching of the word comes in. Somebody asked me, don't you get tired of preaching the gospel? Don't you get tired of saying the same thing over and over again? And doesn't it bother you sometimes because you don't see many people or any people come forward? Oh, no. That used to bother me, but you see, I got it straight from the book, and I've already shared that with you, that I'm not in sales, I'm in presentation. My business as a Christian is simply to live and to give it. And God, the Spirit who is faithful, He will give the increase. That's what it's all about. And so you just keep on lifting up the Christ who says, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. Well, here he was on earth in person, not in the person of his spirit, but in person. He had got the word when Lazarus was sick, but he purposely delayed going to him. And then 4 days after he had passed on, then the Lord Jesus shows up, man, and that was something. Now, many times we'd have a question. Well, why does God wait so long? How come he doesn't do it right now? Well, you see, he's never been in a hurry, but he's never late. I learned that from Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, where it says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. But in the Gospel of Luke, we read it this way, and when the hour was come, in other words, at the right time, at the precise moment, Jesus sat down. And he's never been in a hurry, but he's never late. Way back in the Old Testament, Samuel instructed Saul, the first king of Israel, that he was to wait 7 days. And Saul waited till the seventh day, but then he got, as we would say in 1990, he got antsy. And on the seventh day, Saul offered sacrifice. And then here comes Samuel. And you know, Saul said something that people wouldn't say today. Can you imagine our President Bush saying, Sam, made me do that? But Saul said that. He said, the people didn't make him do that. You see, he was operating, as we would say, in the energy of the flesh. And so he ran ahead, and that was one of the reasons. His self-will was one of the things that caused him to lose the kingdom to David in God's own time. See, he did it. He wanted to do it. And a lot of times we run ahead of the Lord. But our friend, he's never in a hurry. And he'll never be late. And I'm glad that he doesn't just drop it on us as soon as we ask for it. We must ask for his glory. And we must ask in accordance with his will. And we must ask in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Well, Mary and Martha are grief-stricken. And now the Lord Jesus, he's there on the scene. And Mary says to the Lord Jesus the same words that Martha said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. They knew this about him. They had had fellowship with him, and they knew that he was the Lord of life and glory. They knew that death couldn't abide in his presence. In all probability, they had heard about the widow of Nain was on her way to bury her only son, and how that not by accident, but by divine appointment, that procession crossed the path of the Son of God. And it just stopped, and he just simply touched the bier or the casket, and the boy was raised to life. So they knew him as the Lord of life. And so that's the reason both sisters said what they did to the Lord. Lord, if you had been here, my brother had not died. But you know what I'm learning from that? I'm learning, what will it take in my life? I talk to myself. You ever talk to yourself? It's okay, you know. There's scriptures speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart. I do that. I talk to myself. And I say sometimes like this, Sam, what does it really take? What will it really take? What has to happen before you really get real dead earnest about the Lord and the claims he has upon you? And things like that, I find myself asking the Lord. Don't you do that sometimes? Yeah, some of you do. And I know a lot of you do, but you know, and I believe you do. Most human beings do that. They come to that place, and it's so good when you get to the place, you know, you're at the end of the line. I think the song was sang just a couple nights ago, when I reached the end of my hoarded resources, in that song where he giveth more grace. And when we come to the place where we're convinced that we can't, friend, it is so easy then to call upon the Lord. And it's great to call upon him, because you see, man's extremities are God's opportunities. And then the Lord Jesus, when he saw them weeping, he just simply asked a question. Now, he didn't ask this question because he did not know Because my Bible tells me in regards to his eyes, as I read in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 3, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. I read it this way in 1 Chronicles 16:9. It says, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those whose hearts are perfect toward him. Way farther back in the New Testament, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 13, it says, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, for all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. He knows us. He can tell. He knows just as well when we're paying attention. He knows when we're faking it. He knows us. And so he didn't ask this question because he didn't know. He asked this question because he wanted a response from them. He asked them. He sees them weeping, and he asks that question when he says, where have you laid him? And they just simply said, Lord, come and see. And now this short verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. When I was a little boy, after mom or dad gave thanks, we were supposed to say Bible verses before we dived into the food. And of course, you know, somebody would always be quick to say Jesus wept. And then the rest of us who didn't say it first, you say, oh, you said my verse. Like that was the only verse in the Bible, you know. Jesus wept. But, you know, we laugh about that. But, you know, it is the shortest verse in all the canon of scripture. But you think about who it is who's weeping. The Son of God, the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last. The one who just simply spoke this world into being. And you see those tears as they trickle down his cheeks. And when the Jews saw those tears, they said, behold how he loved him. Now, I must confess to you something here. For years, I thought it was something wrong for me as a man to weep. And sometimes, not at funerals. I don't mind sharing with you. At funerals, especially funerals of my loved ones, I find myself saying, Lord, I don't mind weeping, but don't let me weep here. Get me through the message. I said, because Lord, you know how emotional some of my folks are. And if I start weeping while I'm speaking, it'll be bedlam here. So Lord, you just anoint me and get me through this message. And then afterwards, and then I back off into a room and weep. But I used to think it was something wrong with men and boys weeping. I don't know. I wasn't taught that. Maybe it was because of the way I was raised. You see, my mother, she believed that it was better felt than telt. And she had a wardrobe trunk, and on that trunk was a couple straps, and one of those straps spent a lot of time on our backside. And she used to whoop us. I mean, not spank us. She whooped us. In fact, if my mother was alive now and I was a little boy, just for disciplining me, they would take us away from mom and put her in jail. Because, you see, they've changed things now, see? And they call that child abuse. But that wasn't child abuse. That was just child training. That was discipline. But I remember many, many times mom would whoop us and then she'd let us cry. And then mom would say, now hush. And man, when my mom said hush, you hush. You could be hurting, but man, you got the message. You hush. Or if you didn't, then you really had something to cry about. And it may be from that that I just kind of thought, well, maybe it wasn't for men because it was three of us boys. And it wasn't for boys to cry, no matter how hard they were hurting. And friend, I don't mind confessing to you that shortly after I got saved, and you know, you get to thinking about the Lord, and I sometimes try to picture him hanging on that cross, suspended between heaven and earth, and I forget about my brother, my sister, and I forget about my buddies and the guys I ran around with, and I get to thinking it was for me that he died thus. And I don't mind telling you that just kind of breaks you up inside, and the tears get to trickling down your cheeks. And when I started traveling some years ago, and you get up in a plane high enough over Shippensburg, where you can't make out the residential from the commercial buildings, and the farms look like postage stamps, and the roads look like straight or twisted ribbons, and you get awed with the thought that here I am, a speck of clay, redeemed by the precious blood of the Son of God. And I want to tell you, tears just begin to fall down. And sometimes somebody sitting next to me says, can I help you? Shall I call the stewardess? I said, no, she wouldn't understand. And I thought, you know, and I always ask for a window seat because I thought it was something wrong with men weeping. But then, long time ago, I was reading this verse, and I've known it ever since I was knee-high to a grasshopper, and it just seemed like the Spirit of God just opened up the floodgates. And I said, Lord, I see. Here the Creator, here the Son of God, the most powerful person I've ever heard about, he wept. And they didn't say, oh, he's not a man. You know what they said? Behold how he loved him. Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind have caused that this man should not have died? And then Jesus, he was groaning in his spirit, and he cometh to the grave, and the Bible lets us know that the grave was a cave. And now he didn't speak away the stone. And as he comes to the place, and now Martha, and I mentioned it last night, Martha says, but Lord, he's been dead 4 days, and it didn't shake up Jesus. You know what I'm glad about? I'm really glad that I, a stinker, was loved by the Lord. And you'll never meet a person living who's not loved by the Lord. We find ourselves singing about it. We talk about it. But friend, I think words come far, far too short in really describing and expressing the love that Jesus had for us. Loved us so much that he died for us. It's one of the reasons that I'm kept encouraged as a Christian, because you see, I know now that I can trust the man who died for me. I know, and he changes not. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. And so Jesus didn't get shook up. He just simply said to Martha, he didn't even rebuke her. He didn't say to her like we would have said to her or to Peter, be quiet, you just talk too much. He didn't say that, and you know why? Because it's true what the psalmist says, the Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. I looked up the word mercy. You know what it is? Mercy is the withholding of deserved punishment. I deserve to have been punished, but his mercy was to me. And I just can't get over that. And then he just simply speaks to his father as he speaks to his father, and he calls this man by name. And I really appreciate this, brother, sister in Christ. Be encouraged. Maybe you, like me, have some unsaved loved ones. You hear me telling jokes. You see me, and it just seems like I don't have a care in the world. I do. I got some loved ones that if Jesus would come tonight, they'd be lost forever. And I have them on my prayer list. And I want you to know that I'm not begging God. I don't have to beg God. And I just name them as I come down the list. And I say, Lord, by your Spirit, draw on the very cords of their heart. Convict them of their hopeless condition. And then make Jesus Christ real to them. And just that, but there's other things. And I won't go into detail, but you know, we have problems, but we don't have to go around wearing our problems on our face. Because you can ask in simple faith. And this should be encouraging to you and I who are Christians. You know what Jesus said? And don't sit there and say, oh, I'm not Jesus. If you're a Christian, he's inside of you. The Christ of the Bible is inside of you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not I, but Christ liveth in me. And here's what he says. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, and it's not for my sake, but for the sake of the people that stand by, that they may know, they may believe that you sent me. The Bible says to you and I who are Christians in this pressurized age, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, so garrison your hearts and minds. I'm sold on prayer because there's two ladies in my life. My mom who's gone, my wife who is still here. My mom prayed for me and I could have cared less. My wife is still praying for me. And sometimes I'll say, honey, what are you praying for now? She says, when he does it, I'll tell you. And she does. She's not at home praying, oh God, send him home. You should hear the way she talks to the Lord. She says, Lord, get them through all that. You know them. And get them through all of that and use them for your glory. And when you finish, bring them back. And that's the way she prays. And that's encouraging to me just to be on the world to know how she's praying for me. Well, you see, the Lord Jesus, after he finished that, then he called Lazarus by name. Now, I've heard it this way, that if Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had not called Lazarus by name, all the dead in that area would have moved out of there because of who he was. But the invitations in the Word of God are always to individuals. He doesn't lump us up like salt or sugar. No, no. He doesn't even save us as a family, even though a family all can get saved at one time, but he doesn't lump us up. It's always to the individual. You remember the invitation in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, where the Lord Jesus is saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You remember the invitation way back in the Old Testament? Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be, and all that. And you remember how verse 19 of that chapter, Isaiah 1 goes, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat of the good of the land. But if ye rebel and refuse, ye shall be devoured with the sword for the mouth of the Lord. See, the Lord doesn't lump us up. And I thank God for that. You'll laugh at this. You know what I can't get over? I'll tell you what I can't get over. I was a black sheep in our family. I ran away from home to get away from it all. Broke mom's heart. Wondered it didn't kill her. And God saved me. And when you hear me say, man, I'm glad to be a Christian, that is not a mere saying. I am glad to be a Christian. I'm glad to be an heir of God and a joint heir with Christ Jesus. I'm glad to have the Word of God that makes me sure of what is mine now in Christ Jesus. I'm really glad about that. I get excited about that. Sometimes I talk myself to sleep as I'm speaking to the Lord and just thanksgiving and praise because I'm glad to be a Christian. And I don't mind sharing with you. There are times I say to my wife, honey, if I could just get in people and believe for them. She said, don't say that. I say, why? She said, you see, you couldn't stay in them. And as soon as you get out, they'd be in the same dilemma. And she's right. But that's how you kind of feel sometimes. You so want to see people saved, not just your loved ones. I mean, I think of what's happening in the world. And when I read the papers and I see how human life is, in many parts of the world, isn't considered a snap of your finger. And yet I know what the Bible says. It is appointed unto man once to die after this judgment. And I don't believe that lie that I hear on the streets that when you're dead, you're done. I don't believe that. I believe that when a person stops breathing, man, eternity, long as God lives, is before them. Now, how are you going to spend it? Are you going to spend it with the Lord Jesus Christ, worshiping, praising, adoring him? Are you going to spend it where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, where the fire is not quenched and the worm dieth not? You see, the decision is always up to the person. You're the one that makes the decision. I'm the one that makes the decision. God doesn't force himself on us. And so when Jesus called Lazarus by name, and though he was bound with the traditional grave clothes, he just simply moved out of there. And when you see him move out, he's got life now. But in the case of Lazarus, you see it happening in our world. He's defeated. Because you see, he was bound with the grave clothes, so he couldn't walk. He couldn't work. He couldn't witness. And so what did it take? It took the Lord Jesus saying, loose him and let him go. Boy, here's where my imagination doesn't play tricks on me, but it comes into play. I can just see those people standing nearby as they begin to take the grave clothes off of Lazarus. And man, when they got through, he was really delivered. Not that he wasn't saved, but he was delivered. He was free. He could have gone to the store for Martha or Mary. Wherever he would stand, people could say, oh, there's Lazarus. And they couldn't carry on the conversation without saying, wait, but he was dead. And they couldn't continue it, really, without bringing in the Lord Jesus. And that's what it's all about. You see, my friend, it is in him that we live and move and have our being. You know, I say jokingly, but it's a fact. The Lord didn't make us all alike, didn't he? Our fingerprints and our footprints and our personalities and our, we're just different that way. And yet, only one who can satisfy is the Christ. Makes me think of this song. Relax, I'm not going to sing it. Just quote a few lines of it. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love, life, and lasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. I was thinking tonight as I was, before, you know, as the young people were singing and my mind went back, but I was thinking tonight, you know, far as I know, I'm in pretty good health, and I thank the Lord for that. But I don't have to be anything wrong with me for me to just stop breathing like that. And I got to thinking, Lord, I don't want to go through the motions. I must confess to you that I don't want to go through the motions even in meetings. There's some of you here tonight, and you know what you really should do? Not for me. Not for the sake of this church. We're not trying to get your name. We're not wanting members per se. But there's some of you need to do this for the sake of your soul that has a date with eternity. You need to get up out of your seat and you need to come to this altar. And by coming, here's what you'll be saying. Oh God, I don't understand that. But the truth is that I'm a sinner and I don't have peace. And it isn't that I'm so much afraid to die, but the truth is, oh God, that if I was to die now, I don't know where I'm going. There's some of you that don't have peace with God. You've heard about the Lord Jesus for years. And this seventh day of November 1990 find you still resisting the gentle promptings of the Holy Spirit of God. I'd like to suggest tonight that when we sing this song, this close, this invitational hymn, Jesus is tenderly calling today. That you just, wherever you are, if you're sitting or standing, just make your way out and just come up here to the place, front of the place, not to make a scene. We'd like to talk to you. And don't worry about, you know, how you feel and what people are going to think. Let me share something with you. I meet a lot of people as I travel who have been turned off. They've been turned off by the phonies, the hypocrites. We don't even talk about the hypocrites. We're talking about him who is for real. Don't worry about what people are going to think. If you're in dead earnest with God and you want peace, peace can be yours tonight by repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And so as our pastor comes and as we sing, not for me, not for the sake of this series of meetings, but for the glory of God, I'm asking you, if there's a want to deep down inside, that's the Lord, respond and come.